It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolfort, and I'm coming to you today from Kachemak Bay. I'm on board a halibut charter boat, the Sizzler, from Rainbow Charters, and we're just heading out of the Homer Boat Harbor in the fog on a morning in July when I expect the fog to clear and it'll be a sunny day, and with about 20 other people who are going to be fishing halibut today. And I'm going to be watching them, finding out about how to fish halibut and what brings folks to Alaska, what's happening with halibut fishing if you're thinking about going down for a charter, and just spending the day on board. So stay with us. It's going to be Outdoor Explorer fishing for halibut in Homer, the halibut capital of the world. So we're headed out down Kachemak Bay towards Port Graham, and I'm in the wheelhouse hanging out here with Paul Bakker, who is the, what do you call yourself, the skipper or the captain?
I guess you call me the captain.
Yeah, that's good. Good captain. He doesn't have any gold epaulets or anything, though. So how long have you been doing this work?
I've been the captain. This will be my 8th season running the boat as a captain. And then 14 years altogether with the company in this industry.
And did you grow up in Homer?
I did grow up here. Yeah, I've been here since I was 2 years old.
Yeah. So tell me about your, how did you get into fishing? You obviously have to love fishing to have this job, right?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up always loving fishing. Spent a lot of my time early years fishing on the rivers. Didn't get too much out on the open ocean, but going through high school, one of my good friends kind of connected me to the ocean here, and he needed somebody to help him out one summer, so I helped out and filled in for his spot, and then I created a new opening on the boat, and they hired me full time. And then I've been here stuck the last 14 years, loving it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like fishing, it's an incredible job, but I think you have to be pretty good at fishing. You know, I don't think I would ever make it as a charter captain because I get scoped too often.
Yeah, there's definitely ups and downs to it, but, you know, you just got to keep trying every day and explore, and after a while, you'll figure out what to do and what not to do. So,
I guess, it's all about, sort of learning how to find the fish and how long to hang out in one spot, you know, if it's cold or how to move, or do you find there's just, one place you can go to every day? How does that work?
I think what the key is that you always got to look for it and don't just fish one spot until it's empty. You know, you have to explore and take chances. You know, if you know one spot's really good, you know, go somewhere else first, explore somewhere else, and if that doesn't work, you can always go back to the place that's good. Always try and have a couple of spots in mind for the next days ahead of time, because you don't know, you might have bad weather, bad tides that kind of ruin your game plan for that day, and it's always good to have a couple extra cards to pull out, you know.
Yeah, and with halibut, you never have to change. The gear's always the same in terms of your fishing. Do you use herring bait, or what kind of bait do you use?
Yeah, the primary source is herring. It's nice and oily, and it stays on the hook real good. And we salt our stuff here, so it kind of dries out and stays on the hook a little longer. Some people use octopus. Some people use leftover salmon belly, salmon heads, things like that. We just kind of stick with herring just because it's simpler and easier. You know, just one source. You don't have to mess around with so many different things on the deck, so.
Yeah, it's kind of tried and true, and ever since I was, it's been exactly the same since I was a little kid. Big lead weight and a very stout pole and a piece of herring, and kind of dropping it down, jigging it just off the bottom, and kind of going for a day without a lot of current, right? I mean, that's the other thing. There's a lot of current makes it more challenging.
Oh, definitely. There's here in the bay here, you have big tidal influxes. You know, you have 27, 28 feet some days, and it's just a river out there. And where we fish is right where the Kachemak Bay and the Cook Inlet run into each other, and the Cook Inlet has even bigger tides. You know, I think it gets up to 36 at some points. And that's basically, for those that aren't familiar with the tides, it's a river. you know, you have a river that you're trying to fish in, and the boat might be stationary if you're anchored up, and your line's just getting pushed at 3-4 knots away from the boat, which makes it very difficult some days to hold the bottom with that weight. And you have so many different styles of fishing to accommodate those tides. You drift. Some people give people 6-pound weights to hold the bottom. We try and keep it easy on people and just do 2-pound weights.
Yeah, that'd be pretty exhausting to work that thing up and down, right?
Oh yeah, it's brutal sometimes. Yeah. Especially, you know, some people go down 600 feet with 6-pound weights and you bring up a monster fish and it takes them forever and they're done for the day after one fish. So we try and keep it a little bit simpler for people, you know, so they can kind of sift through 6 or 7 fish or whatever they need to get the ones that they want. So yeah, we kind of move around and do a lot of different styles of fishing to accommodate the people and make it easier for them.
I've been told that there are certain features on the bottom which will cause there to be more fish there, like if there's a little bit of a seamount or a, you know, shallower area, that might be a good spot for halibut. Is that true, or do you kind of find that they just might be anywhere and it's just a matter of finding them?
You know, there's definitely a mixture of both what you just said there. There's some hard structures that are really reliable for year-round halibut. You know, they're like big pinnacles, valleys, dips, holes, where there's a lot of bait. You know, they could be a little baby crab, it could be sand lance capelin, things like that. And that's kind of what you target. And once you find those, you're more than likely going to find some halibut there. But there's also other places where it's just a vast open sand bottom where, you know, you just got to trial and error and you might find a spot. And that those spots, you fish more with the tides. You know, you have to know the certain tides that you're going to get fish from those spots. And, yeah, you can get reliable fish in those spots too, where there's no structure whatsoever. It's just flat, sandy. You know, you're those days you're more working on your bait and getting a scent trail going and just being patient. So
are you working different places depending on the kind of tide you're facing? Because I guess you can't really time it for slack tide because you've got a schedule to keep, right? So might there be some places where it's a little easier in a lot of currents and other places not, or does that really factor into it at all?
That definitely has a big factor. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, you have all these different spots in the tides, and yeah, we leave every day at the same time, and the tide changes every day, 40 to 50 minutes later every day, so you can never fish the same spot the exact same way, you know, day in and day out. So yeah, there's definitely spots where, you know, when the current's big, you will fish one side of it versus the other side, or if you have a kind of a wall or a valley, you can kind of fish on one side to where all your weights kind of stack up against that wall to make it easier for people to hold bottom and catch fish. And then yeah, the tides take it's a huge factor out here. You know, it's some days with big tides you can kind of drift over certain areas and catch fish, where other days you wouldn't want to. You know, some days we put down the anchor and we kind of slowly drag it along to kind of take it easy on people's lines. And there's a lot of little small things that people don't notice that are happening when we catch fish. So
yeah, well, and I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you to find fish, right? I mean, if you came out here and got skunked, I mean, it's one thing if you're with your family, it's another if you've got 20 paying customers, right? I mean, do you feel some pressure about that?
Oh, yeah, you know, I think I definitely felt the pressure in my first few years, but I think I've kind of realized that, you know, you're here to be fun, so, you know, there's only a select days where we won't get our limit of fish, and it's typically, yeah, big, really big tides, or it's just people that are catching fish, and they're kind of sifting through, and they push the time limit, you know, and we got to go, and they don't want to keep that last one. But yeah, definitely a lot of pressure, but you can't get sucked into that world, because then it just will beat you up every day, you know. as we're here.
Yeah, I would think that could get pretty miserable, especially, you know, as you say, like doing it every single day, and you can't make it happen. I mean, it's one of like that's the essence of fishing, right? You gotta wait for it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the one thing is, you have to have patience, and you also have to realize that if you're going to be successful in any type of fishing, you have to be fishing. You can't be chasing the fishing spots. So you just got to trust your instincts, put your lines down there, and you know, some days we'll put the lines down there, we won't get a bite for the first 25 minutes, but then right after that, it might be wide open fish. And it's just patience. Just, you know, you got to really believe in what your choices are. So it typically pays off, you know, and then you know later on, like, okay, that spot's good at this certain times, it's bad on these times. It's really just trial and error. And the more days you're out there doing it, the more you understand on how to play the different spots and where the fish are going to be and where they're not going to be. And then it doesn't become as stressful. It just becomes more fun.
So when people are choosing a charter, you guys at Rainbow Charters have been doing this for a really, really long time. Obviously, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have significant success. Do you feel like this is a difficult question to answer, perhaps, but I mean, what are the factors that go into like somebody's choosing what charter they want? Obviously, you know, it's a big boat. Sizzler's got 20 rods. And it's a half day, so those are. But setting those aside, are some people consistently more successful getting fish than others, do you think?
I think most of the people out here are good at catching fish. You know, some of the people that are just getting into the industry are kind of figuring it out, but most of the people here, you know, I consider myself one of the younger captains. You know, I'm only 31 right now. And when I got into it, I think I was the youngest. I got in when I was 23. That was my first year running a boat. And at that time, everybody was already had 20 years plus experience. And a lot of those people are still out there. And those guys know what they're doing. And I was really lucky to be under their shadow, kind of figuring out what to do, what not to do, how to kind of play my cards right. And a lot of those guys are still out there and they're very successful. And most of the people that are out here love fishing, and they're willing to take those chances to get, you know, make the experience the best for everybody. So I think anybody you go with, you're going to have a good success rate. Yeah.
So are you guys pretty friendly with each other in terms of competition? Do you like try to avoid each other when you're out here, so you're not on top of each other? How does all that work? I was always curious, you know, because fishermen never really want to tell each other anything, right? You know, and you've actually got a business going here, so I think that even be more so.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, there's definitely some competition, but really, bottom line, everybody wants people to come back to come out fishing. So we're not gonna stick it to somebody and make them not catch fish. If somebody needs help, we definitely give help to somebody else. Yeah. Because it's helping us in the long run, you know. Returning customers is what all of us want. So you want everybody to have the best success as possible. So when I first started, you know, there's definitely a lot of animosity on some spots that we would fish, or, you know, close proximity. People would be, you know, yelling, oh, get out of my spot. You know, you're going to get all my big fish, yada, yada, yada. But I think now it's more of, let's just make everybody happy, you know, bring more people to Homer. So, which is good. So I don't think there's that much, you know, hiding from other people or sharing trade secrets. You know, we do have, I think every company and captain per se has their own spots that they don't want to share, but the majority of them, you know, are pretty transparent. So.
Yeah, I remember being on a boat and like, we're just pulling in fish after fish. And, somebody else calls on the radio and says, how you doing over there? And the skipper says, oh, nothing. Yeah, it's quiet over here. That's always part of the fun, I think. So half day is, they didn't always do half day. They used to be all full day charters, but it seems like a good opportunity for people with kids or people who are just not like totally fishing fanatics. What do you give up by doing half day? You can't go like all the way out to the Barren Islands or like really go far out, right?
Yeah, you definitely, what you're giving up is you're giving out a long boat ride.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, our boat ride's quite a bit shorter to where we're going to go fishing. You do compromise in the fish size a little bit. So you go out and you give people about 2 hours of solid fishing time. And what you're doing is instead of going out into one spot where you're going to sit down and pick up two or three, you know, barn doors, you're going to go out into a spot where there's a bunch of fish, and it's kind of an instant gratification trip. That's pretty much what it is. You go there to where everybody can catch fish and have a good time. And the people that don't want to be on the water for all day or that are worried about their family members or things like that, and they, you know, want to be kind of closer to port, they can go out there, catch their fish, come back, and, you know, have something to show for. And it's a lot easier on your pocketbook. So it's quite a bit cheaper.
So I know one of the major expenses for a charter is just the fuel to get way out here. How and you go about an hour and a half out, fish 2 hours, an hour and a half back, so people can get back for lunch. How much time do the full day charters spend just motoring out there?
They motor kind of right where we stop, and then they'll go another hour or so. So all together, you know, 2 hours to 3 hours roughly is what they travel. But, you know, they're going to be out there for a full 10 to 12 hours. So you'll get 5 to 6 hours actual sitting down time to actual fish, which you need for those charters because it's a slower bite. You know, and you're targeting bigger fish that don't really school up like these fish do. So you definitely need that time.
Interesting. I never knew that. So in terms of, I mean, you're kind of teaching people to fish, and it seems like another advantage of a half-day charter is that, you know, if you're just the first time, like 2 hours might be plenty of fishing for you. Plus, I would think you would have less concern about seasickness because the guys who go out for like three hours out, motoring out, they're really out in the Gulf of Alaska, right?
Yeah, they definitely go out there and they tend to be on smaller vessels, so you get beat up pretty good. You know, you're traveling faster, trying to get out there further in smaller boats. A lot of, you know, bouncing around through the chop. You definitely get beat up. And, but yeah, you know, you get the reward for it, though. Yeah. You know, you can.
Well, I mean, seasickness is something anybody who goes halibut fishing should think about. You know, if you really get seasick, you got to make sure you take some Dramamine or Bonine or, you know, put on a patch or do something, because there's no way better way to waste a few $100s, right, than to go out and wallow around and like spend 10 hours of torture if you can't, you know, if you can't handle it. How do you evaluate the weather? You know, it looks like it's going to be nice today. There might be a day breeze because it's sunny, so in the afternoon it might be a little choppier, but it's really nice now. Do you sort of have to just look at the sea state and decide whether you're going to go out here into the inlet? And if it is look a little bit rougher, what do you do?
Yeah, that's definitely every morning something that I check. And there, you know, we definitely have guidelines that we follow, and we can go back and forth across that line. But generally, if it's going to be the point where it's a safety issue, people can't stand up and walk around when we fish, it's not fun, you know, and we're here to have fun. So that's kind of where we draw the line. And sometimes that's 6 foot seas, sometimes it's more than that. But really, if there's any type of wind that's involved into it, and it's a consistent wind from a bad direction, then we'll cancel the trip, or, you know, we'll go out a little bit just to kind of see what it's like before we cancel it. But yeah, seasickness, I highly recommend anybody just getting a patch, just even if you have never gotten seasick before. Makes it so much more enjoyable, because sometimes we'll come out and it'll be nice, and then the weather will pick up and you don't really know, you know, the tides and the wind might oppose each other halfway through the trip, and it goes from 1 foot seas to 6 foot seas within 30 minutes, and it's better to be prepared than to come out here and be sick.
Yeah, when you're fishing, you're drifting around, so the waves really affect you. And like, that would be my strongest piece of advice, is take something before you come out. So you were talking about some of the other products under the new rules. You can't fish halibut, take two halibut trips out in one day, but in the afternoon you have another trip where you're going for other fish.
Oh yeah, this year we have a close to the spit trip. We go, we're trying to stay within 5 miles from the spit, and it's a trip for people that just want to go out there and have fun. It's like an instant success trip. You come out and you catch a bunch of different types of fish, primarily pollock and cod, but it's for those that are really worried about getting sick or have kids or low mobility, things like that. They just want to get on the water for cheap, and we've had really good success with it this year. People come out there and have a great time. They catch a bunch of fish. They walk away with, really, there's no limit to how many fish you want to keep. There's no regulations on it, and except for salmon, if you catch salmon, but primarily pollock and cod, and people walk away with 50 to 100 pounds. It's amazing, and it's perfect for kids. We have a lot of kids that just love it, and they fish for the full 2.5 hours, and they're just loving it, loving it, loving it. They want to come back, and it's perfect.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you know, for your sort of meat fishing, it's probably more cost effective than halibut as well.
Yeah, definitely for us, you know, we're able to transfer a super low price for people to get out because the fuel cost for us is really low, and so it makes it worthwhile for all of us to go out there. You know, there's no feasible way to have a cheaper price point for people to go out just for fun, because there's all that fuel expenses if we're going to go out in the halibut grounds, because you're traveling at least a minimum of an hour out, which, you know, that's $400 plus for a fuel cost for us just to get out there. And if we're going to have people come out for fun at a low price, it just isn't economical that way. So that's why we kind of keep it within 5 miles, and there's plenty of spots that have fish. And and it just works out really well that the spots that we go is always protected from the weather. You know, it might be really nasty out in the halibut grounds where we go over there. There's always places that we can, nooks and crannies you can hide, and it's always really nice. So
we're going to start fishing soon, and I know that it's a little bit different than the way it used to be. There's a 2 fish per person limit, and one of those fish has to be under 29 inches. So you were talking earlier about how you manage that. You go for the smaller fish first?
Yeah, it's a whole, you know, the very beginning of the year, it was kind of hard to kind of get, figure that out. So what happened was the total biomass of halibut was kind of recounted here recently and over the past few years, and the IPHC, which is in charge of all the halibut, which is the International Halibut Pacific Commission, they're making major cuts, and it was just kind of our turn to get cut, and it was either cut back on one fish and to only have one fish for everybody, and then what they were able to, because it was like a 25% cut that they had to do overall, and what they decided to do instead was to limit one of the fish to 29 inches or less, and then restrict boats from 2 trips, and then also take away the crew from retaining fish as well. And that kind of added up to that same gross poundage as that 25%. And so things have changed for us. You know, a lot of the spots that we have to fish, we have to accommodate for both sizes, you know, get fish that are under 29 inches and then try and get fish that are over 29 inches, because people, when they come out here, they don't want to get two small fish. They want to get the biggest one possible for their big fish, and they want to maximize their 29 inches for their small fish. And you know, the first few weeks we kind of had to figure out where to go and how to do that, because a lot of the spots prior we'd go out and fish and all the fish are over 29, and I don't want to bring people out here and only have them be able to keep one fish. So a lot of the spots now for us, we fish right on that 29 mark. So a lot of the fish will be 29 and a quarter, 28 and three quarters, you know, we try and maximize that, and then there's also a potential for getting a better one in the mix. So for me, it's definitely, I've had to shift some of my fishing spots and fish them differently just to make it easier for the people to get two fish, you know, because we want to maximize that 29 for sure, and also give them hope that there's going to be something better out there too.
So it's kind of you're sort of sorting through the fish a little bit, and I guess that raises the issue of like not harming the fish when you bring them in and throw them back, right?
Yeah, we try and be as delicate as possible with the fish here, so that way it's our investment. You know, you're not mean to your investment. You got to be nice to them.
All right. Well, I know you need to get back to work. Paul Bacher, who's the captain of the Sizzler, and today's Outdoor Explorer, we are in Kachemak Bay. Actually, we're out into Cook Inlet now off Port Graham doing a halibut charter aboard the Sizzler, the Rainbow Tours halibut charter boat this morning. And we're gonna start fishing now.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on KSKA Anchorage. The program repeats tonight at 9 o'clock on FM 91.1. Connect with Outdoor Explorer anytime. Download podcasts and see what's coming up on future programs by going to our website at alaskapublic.org.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. Today's show was recorded aboard the Sizzler, a halibut charter based in Homer. This morning, we left the harbor mouth with 20 paying passengers on board and a crew of three, plus me, here to ask folks about their fishing experiences and learn something about halibut chartering and fishing. We voyaged 90 minutes down Kachemak Bay and into Cook Inlet to anchor up on top of an underwater structure off Port Graham, where Captain Paul Bacher has had luck in the past, and we're ready to drop 20 lines. Halibut are Alaska's second most famous fish after salmon. They're bottom fish that never see the light of day unless they are hauled to the surface by an angler. The bottom side of the fish is white, and the side that faces upward matches the color of the seafloor. Both eyes of a mature fish are on the top side. Halibut can live half a century and grow to enormous size. The barn door halibut you see in pictures of Derby winners, which can be 8 feet long and weigh in the mid-300-pound range. Homer's Jackpot Halibut Derby has been going on for decades and is always won by one of those monsters. We're on a half-day charter today, which means we're not going for big fish, which these days are found farther out. As we anchor up, deckhands are helping guests ready their lines for the water.
Going like this a little bit, then lift, and then two cranks, and if it stays on, it'll...
The fishing was hot this morning on the Sizzler, but there was still time to talk about how folks were faring.
I'm Heather Wilson from Anchorage, Alaska.
So, what are your children's names?
Cole and Teal Flint.
And what are their ages?
5 and 3.
So, do you think they're going to try some fishing today?
Yep, they're going to try. Somehow.
They could always
experiment.
I remember that from being a kid. You just got to like put your hand on the reel or something.
Mm-hmm. I think Teal will try having her in the backpack and doing the reel from there, just so she's going to weigh way less than any halibut that comes in.
Yeah. So do you like halibut fishing a lot? Have you done it a lot? Or?
Yeah, we try and come out every year. Usually time it, you know, go dip netting for reds and then do a halibut trip. My sister lives here, so... And we try and go on these two boats if we can, because they're real kid-friendly.
Uh-huh, because the boat's large and you can sort of move around.
Yeah, and we know the captains, and they kind of know our kids and stuff, so. Uh-huh. It's a good deal.
So, you can't like take in a huge amount of halibut, although you might catch a big fish. I mean, have you like gotten a lot of meat on these trips before?
Well, we just try and go for short, so it's works for the kids. Uh-huh. If it's rough, that way it's short for them, and then we kind of go for just quantity. Try and bring our whole family. So my dad, sister, both the kids, maybe my husband, and then just expect we're gonna eat fairly small fish, but it'll be a short, kind of quick meat hunt. So.
Yeah, and if you come up, the day-long trip can be pretty seasick-inducing, and kids could really be miserable.
Yeah, today's real nice, but sometimes that's a little too long. So, yeah, the afternoon one is our favorite because they don't.
There's another fish over the side. Excellent. Stuff is happening here. Uh-huh. Yeah. So have you lived in Anchorage a long time?
Yes. Yeah, so I've been between Anchorage and Fairbanks for the last 14 years.
Are you excited about fishing? Yeah.
Can you tell him if you're excited?
Yes.
Did you ever do it before? Did you catch a fish?
Mm-mm.
You haven't caught one yet?
I do. I'm just too small.
You're too small? Oh, you're not too small. You can do a good job.
This is her first halibut trip, so she'll get to see.
You might be smaller than the halibut.
Yeah, we have to tie it to the side so you don't fall over.
Dan Kaltenbos, Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
All right, so you already caught your limit.
Yeah, quick.
Was that like two times down, two fish?
Two down, two up, yeah.
What do you think of that system where you have to like choose like you're going to keep fishing or go for a bigger fish?
It's, you know, I was here once before. And there was two fish, no limit. But I think the fish were about the same size, you know, as I caught last time. So no difference to me.
It's still actually a nice sized fish. And the smaller fish are actually better eating. Though the great huge fish, you get kind of a thicker grain meat.
Yeah, the bigger fish are supposed to be the breeders. So keep the breeders in the water so that you can keep the sport going, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So, have you been to Alaska before then?
Yes, it's my second trip.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, what are you doing while you're here?
Fishing. We went on a glacier tour yesterday, and just seeing the beautiful Alaska scenery.
Yeah. So, do you do a lot of fishing back in Pennsylvania?
A fair amount. This is the big fish, though, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, we catch small stream trout fishing in Pennsylvania is pretty much what we do.
Oh,
some
my gosh,
bass
that's
fishing.
A pretty good size one they got.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
I'm kind of amazed at how hot this spot is. I mean, this is pretty unusual. Like, everybody, line down fish.
You know, it was the same last time, though. I think there was a big crew. I think there was 16 of us last time, and we were all from the same group. And we caught fish almost just about as quickly. And my second one was actually an octopus. So that was a pretty neat day.
So are you going to be freezing this and packaging it up and taking it home, or do you think you eat it when you eat it?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good system. My family has a cabin up here, so they're up all the time, and they invited us up. So, yeah, so they've got a pretty good system. They've got vacuum packers and big freezer, and we have a lot of fun.
Good deal. So you chose to do a half-day charter. Have you ever done a full day, or do you think you'd be interested in that?
You know, half day, you're out, you know, would we come out about an hour and a half? If you go 3 hours, do you get a bigger fish? I don't know. This is a pretty good day. It's, I mean, 4.5, 5 hours worth of fishing. And you see how quick it is, so I don't really see any value in going a full day when you're going to fish out pretty quickly anyhow.
Yeah, what are you guys going to do this afternoon? Take a nap, or do you have any plans?
We're going to stay here in Homer. We're going to tour Homer a little bit, do some shopping, buy some gifts for the family that didn't make it up, and just enjoy the day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
My name is Tim Kelly from Woodbine, Maryland.
All right. There he is. Yep. Here he comes. No, he's kind of another chicken.
Another chicken.
Looks pretty good, though. So James has got blood on his face. He's working.
My war paint.
Yeah.
kept on today?
Yes, I have.
Okay, do you want to keep fishing, or?
I want to keep fishing.
All right, sounds good.
That fish is good shape. He's not, it didn't hurt him.
Uh-huh. Back for more.
Yeah. So have you said you hadn't fished halibut before?
No.
You been to Alaska before?
No, I haven't. It's first trip.
What have you thought of it so far?
I love it. It's beautiful. Everybody's just great.
What have you been doing since you've been here? Go ahead and let your line down. I don't want you to miss out on any fishing because talking to me.
We've fished salmon 2 days. And
one. Pretty good on salmon?
Actually, we did not. I didn't even get a bite.
Oh, no.
2 days, solid fishing, no bite. But we did a glacier tour out of Seward. That was fun. And this is our fourth day, actually, trying this.
Wow, sweet lay. Pretty action-packed trip.
Yeah. It's going to be too short, though.
Yeah, how long are you up here for?
We're here for 7 days.
Yeah, that is kind of short.
Yeah.
What, are you just taking a week off of work?
Yeah. Taking a week off of work. Opportunity to come to Alaska, and it's where we are.
Yeah, I bet it's hot in Maryland this time of year, huh?
Yeah, hot and humid, man.
Very so do you fish out there in
Chesapeake
in the
Bay.
Chesapeake Bay?
Yes, we do. We rockfish.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you go out in a boat and sort of similar, drop a line down to the bottom?
Yep, exactly what we do.
Do you have your own boat? Oh, you got another one?
No, I don't.
You got the lucky pole here.
Oh, it feels like one.
Yeah, it kind of looks like you might have another little one.
That's the fourth drop down and a fourth fish on.
Pretty nice.
That splash happened when Tim Kelly threw back a chicken halibut. That's what a small one is called, a common sound on charters out of the Homer Harbor these days. This is Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth. I recorded today's show aboard a halibut charter. Changing regulations have changed the nature of halibut fishing. Under new rules, anglers can keep two fish, but one must be under 29 inches in length. The other can be any size. Captains have to find a spot or spots where they can find big fish and small fish. And the fishing process involves a bit of judgment as customers decide which fish to keep, sorting through for one that is close to 29 inches as possible and another bigger fish. A lot of fish get caught and released. They usually appear healthy on release, but the catch and release process may affect them since they're used to living on the bottom of the ocean. It's only been an hour on the fish on anchor fishing, but all 20 guests have caught their limit of two fish, and everyone seems happy. Deckhand James Howell is sorting through the day's catch and gets ready to fillet fish for customers to take home.
Cole!
So James, what was your last name?
My last name is Howell.
James Howell. So you're kind of sorting through the fish and they've got those number tags on them?
Yes, correct. When we have people get on the on board, we have the pins match their names and coordinating with their group, so on and so forth.
And you take a picture of everybody all, so they can take a picture with their own fish?
Correct. Yeah. At the end, we line them up in order, 1 to 21. We rinse them, pin them together, and then people can take their photos before we fillet them on the way in.
Oh, you're going to fillet them on the board on the way in?
Yeah, we fillet all the fish on the way into the docks before we get there.
Deckhand Ashton Green instructs customers how to fill out the fishery logbook.
Yeah. All right. Let you guys know a few things about this logbook that we're going to have you fill out before we get back to the harbor. So, this is our fish and game logbook. We have 3 pages here with these clips on them so that you can identify them. They are the pages with your names on them. So you will find your name and your fishing license number entered in here. This is a carbon copy book, so there's a flap that you're going to need to put behind the pages that you sign. Once you find your name, which you'll need to find, it's already in here, so you don't need to write it. But once you find it, there's going to be a halibut column that I've circled here, and the boxes are in bold. So you're going to go over to that halibut column, and you'll find 2 boxes. The top box is for how many halibut you kept. There's a K there next to it in case you forget. So you kept 2 halibut. Each of you did.
Regulatory changes are affecting the charter industry. Boats can only go out once a day for halibut, which has reduced the number of seats available. Derby tickets are down, and reservations for anglers are harder to get. On the trip back to Homer, I joined Captain Paul Backer to talk about the changes in the charter fishing business. He's been working on halibut charters for 14 years and is making it his career.
So how do you feel about the restrictions? I mean, you've been out here for quite a while. Do you feel like there was a need to have some additional limitations? Have you seen the fish getting smaller or more scarce over the years?
I've definitely seen things change throughout the years. When I first was a deckhand and we were doing half-day stuff, you know, the average fish was definitely larger than what we got today. You know, you'd get an easy average of 20 pounders across the board. You know, that would be equivalent to 37, 38 inches or something like that, which is 10 inches almost bigger than the requirement for the smaller fish now. And I've seen fish get smaller, but the amount of fish has been the same. So there's plenty of fish out there, just the size of them have decreased throughout the years. But it did plateau about 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been pretty consistent since then. It hasn't gotten any smaller since that. And, you know, with the regulations and things changing, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. I think in one side it's good that it's being regulated, because the industry really needs to breathe for a while. You know, it's been hit really hard. And, you know, some people could say that that's because of some of the breeder fish are getting pulled out of the water that put out the eggs and, you know, reduce the amount of hatchlings that are going to come out for the future use. But I think it's also just, we overfished it. There's a lot of, you know, today I just pulled out 40 fish, you know, and we did that twice a day, every day for 120 days, you know, per season, and there was multiple boats doing that. So, you know, at one point you're just going to overfish it. So I'm glad that there's restrictions, but before the restrictions were implemented, we also had a nice breather before that, when we had the big recession that hit 4 or 5 years ago. The amount of clientele that came out here really slowed down, and we used to be booming in 2007, 2008, those years, and then the recession hit and everybody out here, their business was cut down a third easily, and that kind of helped everything breathe. And I think that helped out with the plateau that I was talking about, where the fish have been kind of consistent for the last 6 or 7 years. They haven't gotten any smaller or less of them. And I think here in the bay, in the Ketchmack Bay, Cook Inlet, we've been quite responsible as far as the fish that we've been getting. And you got to understand that the IPHC is cutting down fish as a whole for the whole entire Pacific Ocean. So it's not just this area, it's the whole Pacific. And as a general, we've been overfishing, even though we've been doing pretty good here locally. So, you know, you can't really, you know, for us, it's our livelihood, but we're making it work. You know, I think the people that come on board here are still happy. They're still happy. They're really happy that they're still able to get two fish. And I'm really glad that we were able to figure out a way that you get two fish instead of just one fish, because then it would have decimated the industry, really. I think a lot of people want to come out on the water, but they also want to get two fish. You know, and for us, there's a certain price that we have to charge people just for fuel to go fishing, and we can't lower that price for one fish, you know.
I wonder if you're getting less people who are coming down from Anchorage sort of just looking for, you know, 100 pounds of halibut, you know, and thinking, well, for, you know, for what I'm paying, it's actually a really good deal on meat, right? And now the fish are smaller, and you're kind of you're limited to one of them has to be 29-inch fish is really not that large in terms of halibut. I wonder if you're sort of getting more of the tourism market rather than the Anchorage fishermen.
Yeah, definitely the clients have definitely changed throughout the years. You know, if I were to look back, you know, a decade plus ago, it was definitely people came down here for meat. That's what they wanted. And local people and out-of-staters, it was like, I come up here, I need to make sure that, you know, it's a price point. You know, I invested this much into this charter, I need to get at least this many pounds to make it worthwhile, you know. you know, with the shipping and everything like that. And it's definitely transformed into a more people coming out here just to get some fish and have fun. And we've kind of circled through a lot of those people that, you know, have to have it quantitatively, like, you know, I gotta have it this many pounds to make it worthwhile. Those people don't really come out with us as much as before, which is a, you know, okay. They are going out with the full day guys now, and we are getting more of the people that are just out here to have fun, which for me, I really like having people that want to have fun. So for me, it's kind of, I don't mind the difference there. You know, everybody here today had a good time, and we have a bunch of people that are returning here today, and a good percentage, I'd say 70% of our clientele have returned through the last decade that come back. And it's not so much about the meat, it's just to go out and have fun.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw on the back deck there, is that people are just like, they're hooking a lot of fish, they're pulling in a lot of fish, they're getting tired. You know, when your arms get tired and you're fishing, that's kind of a good sign. And then, you know, everybody's done after, like, not that, like, around an hour, right? And go back and do something else in the afternoon. And kind of not their hardcore halibut fishing that I think of, where you kind of got guys who sort of, like, have a fire in their eyes and they're just thinking about getting that big barn door halibut. Are people buying the Derby tickets when they're coming on these charters? Because it seems like the probability that you're going to get a Derby-sized fish is pretty low.
Yeah, as far as, like, you know, the Derby has a lot of different things that they offer. The Derby, they have the big fish reward, and they also have tagged fish as well. And where we fish, we're more likely to get the tagged fish. And I think that was created for that, for the people like us that go out not too far, don't catch the bigger fish, and for locals that come out in their skiffs that are limited by the weather and how far they want to go out, they can still have a chance to be part of the Derby. But yeah, you know, if somebody wants to go get a big fish and they're, you know, a big head hunter, the good part is that there's still people out there that provide that, and they're doing a really good job at doing that. So I think that, you know, there's a place for everybody to go, and we're definitely, for us, we're getting the people, it's like an introductory course. It's like, oh, come on out, this is how you fish, instant success. If you want to get more into it and look for something bigger, here's some recommendations. You can sit out there and really, you know, be more of it if you want to.
So I noticed in your deckhands, gregarious, outgoing, having fun with people. I mean, that obviously willing to work hard, because you guys really, really work hard with your, like, 12, 13-hour days. But that must be, when you're picking out people to hire for these jobs, that must be part of it, just making sure it's people enjoy having fun and interacting with people. And dealing with people, like, getting their lines tangled and maybe not being that, I don't know, I'm looking for a nice way to say this, but, I mean, some folks are like, have they ever fished before at all? Do they know anything at all about fishing?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We definitely have, I think we have the largest percentage of novices that come out here, you know. And, you know, yeah, when I look for crew members, I definitely have to find people that are really good at breaking the ice and kind of more personable and really have a lot of patience and are willing to kind of turn their cheek when people are either upset or having issues or tangled or, you know, also some people just want to give up sometimes. You know, you got to be able to talk them through them, give them positive reinforcement, be like, you know, you can do it, you know, everything's going to be okay. Yeah. You know, don't stress out. We're here to have fun, you know. So, yeah, I definitely try and find crew members that are that way. Yeah.
So you've got like a 120-day season, and you're out there fishing for other people pretty much every day. Do you ever go fishing on your own?
Not as much as I used to. No, not really. You know, I'm kind of consumed by this in the summertime, and then afterwards I kind of decompress for a month or so and trying to get who I am back. Because, you know, in the summer you have to be an extreme extrovert, and then in the winter I'm kind of closed off and kind of just get back to who I am. Because you just go, daylight's always going, you're always moving around, you're always a little bit sleep deprived, you're always trying to please people and give them a good time, so you kind of get burnt out after 100 plus days.
I would think so. I would think that's like, oh, I don't think I could take it. It's like, I'd be pretty grumpy by the last trip of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we definitely have towards, you know, there's in the last 3 weeks of the season, we definitely have a moment where it's like we all break down and we come up into the wheelhouse and kind of tell it how it is to each other, just to kind of, you know, and that's where it's important to have a good crew as well, so you can kind of bend to each other and just be a support to each other, so you don't put it out on the clients, you know.
Right, right. The clients would be the challenging part, no doubt. So is there much seasonality at all to halibut, or when people say, oh, the halibut fishing is good right now or it's not good right now? It seems to me that the halibut are kind of always there, and it's more a matter of what the tides are like. And am I wrong about that, or are there actually sort of better seasons for halibut?
There are better times of the summer months to fish. Uh-huh. You know, what typically happens is the beginning of the season, there's fish out here for sure, but there's not as many out here as there is per se in late June, July, and August. And a lot of that has to do with the water temperature and a lot of bait that's coming in here. You know, there's fish here year-round, but there's even more fish in here when the water temperature comes up and all the bait, like the capelin and sand lance and all the things moving through into the bay here, all those halibut are following. And then when the silvers come through as well, they're coming through here eating that same biomass, and the halibut are coming in with them as well. So, you know, there's definitely a peak time of mass. You know, I wouldn't say there's a peak time of bigger fish, but there's definitely more fish to sift through at certain times of the year. And that's typically right June, July, and halfway through August. But there's definitely fish on either end there as well.
And then it cools down a little bit as you get into fall, and in the spring, that's sort of like not as hot. And I guess nobody fishes halibut in the winter at all.
Yeah, once you get into September, it's less desirable. It gets cold out here, you know. And also the clientele aren't as reliable and consistent. You know, we have people with families, the kids are going back to school, people going back, you know. Yeah. And, you know, so it's... There are people that stick it out to the end of September, but they're not consistent through that. So a lot of people would close their doors typically around Labor Day weekend, just because, you know, it's not cost effective to have everybody employed for only two more trips through the rest of the month.
But this Winter King industry is really, really taking off. I mean, that's really going all winter, isn't it?
Yeah, the Winter King is definitely booming, and there's a couple of boats that are very consistently going out there and catching fish, and it's becoming a whole new enterprise out here. You know, it used to be just go out there for fun and see what you can catch, but now people are finally connecting between the boats and the people in the community, and people coming down from Anchorage, people coming all over the place to go get kings. And especially since the king runs have been so slow for the rivers, you know, in May, where it used to be really nice to go on in the rivers, now it's, you can get your kings in the wintertime, and they're awesome fish. They're nice and big and delicious. A lot of people would keep a king over anything else.
Yeah, and you can actually come down here and like go skiing up on the ski trails at Baycrest, and like in the morning and then the afternoon go king fishing or something. I've been up there and skied and looked down and seen the whole fleet going out for the King Derby, which I think it's cool. Where else can you do that?
Oh yeah, it's this little center here where it's like you got big mountains, you got snow, you got fishing, you have everything all wrapped up in one, and it's gorgeous in the wintertime. I personally think the winter is more beautiful than the summer, you know. But maybe I'm just biased because I've lived here my whole life. But
yeah, no, I agree. So let's go over the prices for what it costs to do your. Do your tours, the half-day halibut tour, which you can do either at 7 a.m. or 1 p.m., so it's like 7 to 12:30 or like 1 to 5:30?
It's like 1 to 6.
1 to 6?
Yeah, and the prices for that are, for the adult, it's $145. For a senior, which is over 62, is $135. And then for a youth, which is under 12 years of age, is $120. Huh?
And that was what we were doing today. So, and most people brought home a couple of halibut around 30 inches, which would be like a 15-pound halibut.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, which would clean out to be maybe 10 pounds of meat per fish or 8 pounds per fish.
You know, I typically tell people what they're going to get on average day is the amount of pounds that they'll bring home is somewhere around 10 to 14 pounds is kind of what they're going to walk away with, somewhere in that range.
So then the all-day trips, which your company doesn't do, Rainbow Tours doesn't do all-day trips, but what's sort of the general price range for those?
The price range to get on a full-day charter, you're talking $220 to $240 for a big boat that will hold more people, like the size of this vessel, which is a 50-foot boat. You know, you're talking that $220 to $240 for a six-pack. You're talking $240 all the way up to a high $300s, depending on what specialties you want in there, if you want a combo or whatnot. So it's quite a bit more expensive. It's at least twice the price or more.
And on one of those, you're going to go all the way out of the inlet, probably out towards the Barren Islands, fish for big halibut, and then maybe if you're doing a combo, then you'll maybe part of the day when the tide's running faster, you'll fish for salmon or something.
Yeah, definitely. They divide it up how they do it for that day depending on the tide, but generally they go out and they'll pick a spot where they think it's ideal for that day and try and pick up a couple good fish that are 50 pounds plus, you know, and then in the last couple minutes of that trip, they'll go through an area and pick up their last couple fish that are under 29 inches. And that's if you're doing halibut. And, you know, they definitely go out twice as far as we do, and they have good success doing that. So, you know, and you can go out there some days and get lingcod and salmon at the same time.
And somebody will catch a 300-pounder for the Derby. So it's somewhere in the year.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely captains out there on those boats that are definitely in it to win it.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a Derby ticket, they'll put you on the spots. Uh-huh. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. This has been a great day. I really appreciate coming out with you and your crew and all the other folks. Charles Woolforth and Outdoor Explorer has been coming to you today from Kachemak Bay, halibut fishing with Rainbow Tours. Paul Bacher was the captain today, and we heard from a lot of other folks along the way who were fishing or deckhands. Monica Goki is our producer, and Pat Yak is the chief content officer for Alaska Public Media. I'm Charles Woolforth, and I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.